第四篇
Passage 4
英汉口译
English-Chinese Interpretation Listen to the recording and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
I begin by congratulating Peking University, which this year celebrates its 110th anniversary, making this university 3 years older than the Commonwealth of Australia. Peking University is the most famous in China, and it has played an important part in modern Chinese history. In the early 20th century, when China was going through a period of rapid transformation, it was Peking University that led movements for a new era in Chinese educational, cultural, and political life. Peking University was at the center of the May 4th movement. The May 4th era, for I realized that it was a transformative decade from 1917 to 1927, was one of crucial and lasting importance in the emergence of a modern China. Many famous figures in this period were active at your university. One thinks, for example, of Cai Yuanpei, Chen Duxiu, Hu Shi, Li Dazhou, and Lu Xun. I noted that Lu Xun's design for the school crest of Peking University is still in use. I also noted that you, indeed, the students of Peking University today, are heirs to a great tradition of intellectual engagement with your country. I first started studying China and the Chinese language in 1976. When I went to university, I knew that I wanted to study China. I went to the Australian National University in Canberra. And for the next 4 years, I studied Chinese language, Chinese history, and Chinese literature. I even studied Chinese calligraphy. Later, I became a diplomat and had the honor of becoming the Prime Minister of Australia. Some people think that Australia and China are new friends, but in fact, our history is already long. Chinese settlers came to Australia first in the 19th century. When gold was discovered in the 1850s, the first major group of Chinese migrants came to our shores. We now have over 600,000 people who claim Chinese ancestry. After English, Chinese, Mandarin, and Cantonese is the most widely spoken language in Australia. The Chinese community has deep roots in Australia and is an important part of modern Australian society. And Australians show increasing interest in China. It is easy to see why people become fascinated with China. China has thousands of years of continuous recorded history, but it is a country of constant change. The changes in China since the 1970s have been remarkable. And the change in China has led to a profound evolution in the relationship between our two countries. China's policy change 30 years ago to reform and open up was the start of your country's reconnection with the world. China's companies began trading with others. China's people began to travel. China's students began going overseas to study in greater numbers. The world began to see China, and the people of China began to see the world in new ways. It is important to recognize that China's change is having a great impact not just on China, but also on the world. The scale and pace of China's economic development and social transformation is unprecedented in human history. Never before have so many people been brought into the global economy in such a short period of time? You are the generation that will see China's full integration into global society, the global economy, and the overall global order have an important role to play in the life of the world. The global community looks forward to China fully participating in all the institutions of the global rules-based order, including in security, in the economy, in human rights, in the environment. It is a necessary task of responsible global citizenship. China has variously articulated its approach to development as one of peaceful rise, peaceful development, or more recently, that of a harmonious world. In 2005, the then U.S. Deputy Secretary of State, Bob Zelig, spoke for his part of his concept that China would and could become a responsible global stakeholder. As I said last week, in a speech to the Brookings Institution in Washington, it is worthwhile thinking about how to encourage a synthesis of these concepts of a harmonious world and the responsible stakeholder. The idea of a harmonious world depends on China being a participant in the world order and, along with others, acting in accordance with the rules of that order. Failing this, harmony is impossible to achieve. Our shared future is not only one about harmony between nations and peoples, it is also about harmony with nature. The unity of man and nature, a concept with ancient roots in Chinese thought. We all share responsibility for the future. One of the big future challenges for Australia and China is climate change. Australia is committed to strong action domestically and internationally on climate change because we know that climate change is the great moral, economic, and environmental challenge of our time, one that all nations have to work together to overcome. An effective global response to climate change will require the active participation of all major emitters. I also believe it is important for China's own future. In the modern, globalized world, we are all connected. Connected not only by politics and economics, but also in the air we breathe. It is my conviction that a true friend is one who can be a zhengyou, that is, a partner who sees beyond immediate benefit to the broader and firm basis of continuing profound and sincere friendship. In other words, a true friendship is one which offers unflinching advice and counsels restraint to engage in principled dialogue about matters of contention. It is the kind of friendship that I know is treasured in China's political tradition. It is the kind of friendship that I also offer China today. Thank you.